Good morning. One of my favorite memories growing up was having my grandparents right down the street. They moved to town when I was in third grade, and I would love going over there after school and on the weekends and during the summer. I just had the best time, and what a blessing it was. One thing that my grandmother always did for us was she always had a puzzle on the dining room table. We didn't sit at that table very often, just for holidays, but we could always count on there being a puzzle when we came over in some kind of various state of being worked on, and we could just always connect over working the puzzle, sit and talk for hours on end and not even realize the time was passing by because we were enjoying conversation and we had something to work on together. I've been thinking about the church in this season and how we are like pieces of a puzzle. But you don't get the full sense of the picture when we are scattered. Picture our city as not just disconnected neighborhoods on a map, but as comprised of people who are like individual pieces of a puzzle, all scattered throughout a very big area, as is the case here in Houston. When you see individuals, you don't get a sense of the full picture that God is putting together. You don't get a sense of the artist's full vision. Sure, you see beautiful people who have gifts abundant, who have struggles and who have mountaintop experiences, who are fully human. Some of the pieces are a little more abstract. Some are more square, others rounded. But each piece is beautiful on its own. Now imagine God bringing the city together here at Main and Clay. The pieces begin to be worked into a beautiful puzzle where you begin to see a fuller picture emerging, where you begin to see the artist's vision. You can begin to feel it, can't you? As you look around this room, you can see the pieces of this puzzle God is putting together here at First United Methodist Church of Houston. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? In this picture, we catch a glimpse of eternity, of heaven, of that banqueting table where we all will feast together with Jesus as hosts. Look at us. We are diverse in so many ways. We come from so many different backgrounds and so many different parts of the city. We come together in the heart of Houston, and together we share the love of Christ in a way that becomes tangible to our neighbors. Today, I want to talk about what it means to gather together as the people of God. We scatter throughout the week, but God brings us together on Sundays, to build community with one another, to grow in faith together, to pray with one another, and to worship as one community. Sure, we can do all of those things alone, and we should, but something is missing when we fail to gather together. That's why the author of Hebrews says, "Do not neglect meeting together as some have been in the habit of doing." It's important that we come together as the people of God. When we come as individual pieces of a puzzle, we begin to see how we fit to put a fuller picture of what God is up to together. That's the importance of gathering. When we gathered in this room on January 26th to approve a strategic plan, we really were moving forward a plan that would build a culture, a shared culture here among all of the people of the church. We want to gather together as a way to grow disciples, to worship, to pray, to be in fellowship with one another, so that we can build one another up. And in doing so, God can build the church. So I want to look at the first piece of that, worship. The scriptures talk about the church gathering for worship from the Old Testament all the way to the New. When you look at Acts 2, 42 through 47, this here is the baby church. It has just been born on the day of Pentecost, and thousands upon thousands heard the gospel proclaimed in their native tongues. And they came together and said, what must we do to be saved? And they were baptized and put into this body that we now call church. So they gathered together frequently for the apostles' teaching, for fellowship, the breaking of bread, and a prayer. And they all had everything in common. So why is corporate worship such an important part of what we do? Well, in seeking God together, God does miraculous things in and among us in ways that don't happen when we're alone. When we're alone, we can lean on preference. We can turn on KSBJ or find an old record or cassette tape or CD or digital file of the music that we like from another time. And that's great. But in coming together, we have to learn to sing one another's song. And there's something really powerful about that. God brings us out of our own comfort zones in coming together and worshiping together. When I look around this room and I worship with all of you, I get a more full and complete picture of who God is and what eternity is going to be like. When I worship alone, yes, it's just me and Jesus. It's beautiful, but I miss glimpsing a fuller picture of the kingdom of God. It's energizing to come together and worship, isn't it? Can't you just feel the Spirit moving among the people? And when Paul strikes those low notes on the organ, the whole room shakes, right? You sound glorious. I'm convinced that these are the best seats in the house, because I can hear the choir behind and hear your voices, the choir from the congregation in front. And it's like this antiphonal experience, better than any theater I've ever been in my whole life. It's beautiful. When we worship together, we also hear a common word proclaimed that unites us together. I always say that we gather and then we scatter. So when we gather, God fills us with a word, unifies us, gives us a common purpose. And then we scatter to live our lives of faith in all of our workplaces and our homes and all of the places that we go throughout the week. One in mission, though we are many across a large metropolitan area. We have taken a bold move as a church in recent days to move all of our Sunday worship for a time to one campus. Last Sunday, if you were here or were able to worship with us online, was unlike anything I've ever experienced before. We saw a fuller picture of the puzzle that God has built here at First Methodist Houston over many years. We began the service last week with Alter Moja leading us in one of the songs that they sing in their gatherings. We had traditional music from our choir and organ and pianist. And then we ended with modern music from the Source community. All of the gifts that are a part of our church are together in one place for a season, and we're sharing these gifts with one another. If you were here, do you remember the response at the end of the service? I've never seen so many kneeling in prayer and surrender at this rail. And there was a line for the candles that are behind this column over here to my right, your left, that lasted for the entire song. We're going to do that again today. That's gifts that the Source brings into our shared worship gathering. Even today, Alter Moja is worshiping on the second floor up here. You'll have to go by and see their worship space, even join them for their worship service. We're going to all join together on communion Sundays, and then Alter Moja will be on the second floor in other weeks. But bringing the church close together to worship in proximity and with one another helps us to share a mission more fully together, where there's no more us and them, it's just us. And we have work to do with one another together. Amen? Worship, corporate worship, challenges us and it changes us. There's one thing about our worship that I want us all to get, because if we don't get this point, we fall too easily into preference, right? Worship is about more than our preferences. Sure, our comfort zone, our preferences are important. We have to worship God in our own authentic voice. A worship service isn't faithful to authenticity right? Unless we're all able to worship God in our own voice. And yet we have to come with expectation that God is going to move us beyond our preferences, pull us out of our comfort zone, give us a bigger picture and vision of the kingdom, and give us good work to do together. We should grow in faith as a result of coming together in worship. So I pray that as you come, that you prepare, that you come expectant, expecting God to move, to do something new within you and among us. We should leave changed, different than what we were when we came in. Because in worshiping together, God is knitting together a community that has a purpose beyond anything that we could imagine on our own. In worship, it's not just about receiving, but about participating and about giving. We have a time where we pass plates in every service, and you all are so generous. But did you know that your very presence is an offering of worship to God? Just getting out of bed and getting in the car or the bus or the vanpool and coming here is an act of worship. Singing the songs of the faith is an offering. It's a participation in the shared worship of the body. And sometimes our worship in song, when we don't know the music, is just standing there and listening and learning the song. Receiving in that moment, being attentive to the words of the scripture and the message is an offering. It's active. Yes, you're receiving, but you're also giving something to God, and it changes you, and your place here changes us. As I gathered today on the fourth floor for our new Sunday school gathering time at 9:30 and then the assembly at 9:50, I looked at all the faces there. And there are some who are out today for various reasons. And I thought, attendance is so important. When you're not here, we are not fully who God intends for us to be. We miss you. When you come and you take your place, your very presence may be the ministry that somebody needs that you didn't even know when you came. But when you availed yourself to coming in, you might have made yourself present to somebody who needed the very grace that you had to give in that moment and in that day. When you miss a Sunday, you miss a lot. And so it's so important to matter to this body. And friends, there are those who are not here among us yet, who have not made the move to the one unified service that we have right now that need to be here. And I hope that you'll take note of the faces. Reach out to them and invite them to come and be a part of what God is doing here, because it is powerful. There's an awakening going on here among us, and we need to be together during this time. So we gather as a way of growing in faith. We gather to worship, but we also gather to pray. Prayer shapes us and forms us into the people of God. And prayer isn't just about speaking to God. It's about listening as well. We bring our petitions before the throne of God, but the very voice of God, the Spirit of God, speaks to us, forms us, shapes us, makes us whole. A great image and analogy that I've been given is that we've been given two eyes, two ears, and one mouth for a reason. We should listen and observe more than we speak. God delights in what we bring forth from our mouth in prayer. But God also delights us to fill us with the words that he has to give when we yield ourselves to listening. Just like our worship, when we pray together in community, something happens, doesn't it? We are given eyes to see what we can't see when we're in our prayer closets all alone. Because when we're alone, we're thinking about those who are in our gaze, in our periphery. But when we get together, we pray as a body. We share mutual concern for one another and care for our city. We're able to become aware of things that are going on that we wouldn't know otherwise. And your prayer with others encourages them. Have you ever thought about that? It's one thing to pray alone. It's quite another to have someone say, may I pray with you? Let's take that to the Lord in prayer. I've spoken about this before in prayer. You know, very often in the receiving line after worship or even out and about in the community, I'll run into people who just are bearing their soul. They're struggling with something or they're celebrating something. And they say, will you remember me in prayer? Will you add me to your prayer list? And I say, yes. And why don't we pray about that right now? I've done that in the middle of the lobby, the middle of the store or a restaurant. I've never had anybody turn down prayer. Even if they're a little bit skeptical, even on Ash Wednesday, we would have people, you know, one non-practicing Catholic but knew Ash Wednesday and thought it would be a good opportunity, and a skeptic in the seat beside who just came along for the ride. And we would pray with one and ask the other, do you want us to pray before? They would say, no, thank you. But after we get done praying with the driver, the passenger said, actually, you know what? Maybe I could use prayer. You see, prayer changes things. When we pray with one another, for one another, it shakes the very gates of hell, right? Prayer is significant and important. And corporate prayer changes everything. We also gather for fellowship. And this is really important. I've observed in churches that I've served over 17 and a half years of pastoral ministry, that sometimes the members can feel neglected in the work of evangelism. It seems, and rightfully so, churches become concerned about reaching out to those who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus, bringing people in from the outside. That is so important. We need evangelism and mission. But we also need mutual care and fellowship with one another. We need to come together over meals, over cups of coffee, because it's more about just eating a meal together or sharing a cup of coffee. It's about building an interconnected web of relating to one another that builds up the body, right? When we know each other, we know who to call when we're dealing with something. Or when God has given us a vision for something, but we don't know how we're going to accomplish it, that person that you had coffee with, you might say, oh yeah, you need to call Gertrude, because did you know she, fill in the blank, right? When we share life together, we're building community and we're strengthening the bonds that bind us together as one body. Fellowship is about sharing life together. It's also about doing life, right? It's about sharing joys and burdens, and it's about encouraging one another. Hebrews says that when we gather, we encourage each other. Have you ever thought about that word, encourage? It's literally to breathe courage into someone else. It's to give one another the courage to continue, the courage to do the hard thing, the courage to keep showing up, the courage to pray. Sometimes when I'm weak, others around me are strong. And what I thought I couldn't do, I can do through Christ who gives me strength and through a community that builds me up and holds me up. You see that? When we gather together for worship, for prayer, for fellowship, we literally give courage to one another. And I don't know where else you're going to find that going on more powerfully than it does here in the gathered life of our church. So friends, I want you to think before we move into a time of prayer and response about how you fit into the puzzle, into that beautiful picture the artist, our creative God, has been painting among the people of First United Methodist Church of Houston. Remember, some of those pieces are more abstract. Others are square and predictable. The corner pieces, you know, always predictable, and you know where you can put them. Others, you might not know quite where they fit yet, but you know that they're needed. And I want you to look around at the puzzle that has been put together today. There are some holes in the puzzle, aren't there? There are people missing that need to be here because the picture is not complete without them. I wonder if you might reach out this week in love and care and concern to those that you know would benefit from being a part of the gathered life of this church, because we're not the same without them, just as we're not the same without you. And so we're a church who gathers. We grow as disciples when we gather together. We're going to create even more opportunities for prayer, for fellowship, for worship. And I'm excited about what God will do when we come together and we bring our full selves to building up community, to praying for one another, and to worshiping God and learning to sing one another's song. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.